Well, then today is Trinity Sunday. It's the first Sunday after Pentecost, and this Sunday is always suppressed by the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and so today is the Feast of the Trinity, Trinity Sunday. The Epistle for Trinity Sunday, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are His judgments and how unsearchable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that recompense should be made to Him? For from Him and through Him and unto Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. And then the Gospel is taken that according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to His disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today is Trinity Sunday, is the perfection of the liturgical year. Throughout the liturgical year, we travel through the entirety of the history of the world. And then there is one day in which we step outside the liturgical year, and that's today. Today is a day in which we enter into eternity. And we think of the purpose of the liturgical year and the purpose of our lives, which is to find ourselves immersed in the Blessed Trinity for all eternity. So after the coming of the Holy Ghost, we've seen, so to speak, as we say by appropriation, the age of the Father. The Father created the universe, holds it in existence. Then the Father sent His Son into this earth to redeem it. And then the Son sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came last Sunday on Pentecost and filled the church and gave it birth and brings the life of the Son into the world and fulfills the will of the Father. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are now all visible on the earth. And so as that the Holy Ghost has finally come, we celebrate the eighth day after the celebration of the coming of the Holy Ghost, Trinity Sunday, which is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. The greatest of all the mysteries and the most important of all the truths and the only eternal necessary truth. All other truths are contingent upon the will of God. Whether He chose to redeem mankind, become man, start a church, create the universe, all these things were contingent upon the free will choice of God. But there is only one necessity, one thing that cannot not be, and that is the Blessed Trinity. So we contemplate the one necessity today, and it is our desire to be in the presence of that one necessity for all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Three and yet one and yet three, and so on, undivided, and yet in these three different persons, the first, the Father, the one that generates, the Son who is generated and yet does not come after the Father, the Holy Ghost who is breathed forth, who is a communication of love between the Father and the Son. And yet He is not the Father who breathes Him forth, nor the Son who breathes Him forth. He is the breath that is between them, the glue that holds the Father and the Son. And He does not come after the Father or the Son. One thing we say about the Blessed Trinity is that we call them three persons, first, second, and third, but there is no first, second, or third person. They are all three simultaneously in existence for all eternity. They are all three equally necessary. There is never a time in which one is dependent or upon the other. They are all equally, living inside of each other for all eternity. this mystery of circumcision, traveling around with inside each other. And concerning this mystery of the Blessed Trinity, some of the great teachers of this mystery, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, two of the saints that have had the greatest understanding, they are the greatest of the fathers of the church. He, the greatest of the fathers, St. Augustine, St. Thomas, the greatest of all the doctors and all the teachers the church has ever known. And it is interesting that these two great teachers, the greatest the church has ever produced in the last 2,000 years, that they had the best understanding of the Blessed Trinity. And the great example in the life of St. Augustine, after he had meditated and contemplated how the three are one and the one is in three and so on, was considering how he had done so well in his understanding of the Blessed Trinity. And he was walking along the beach in Africa, next to the Mediterranean Sea, and he saw a little boy in the distance. And St. Augustine went up to the little boy, and he saw that the boy was taking a glass of water, a cup, small cup. He was filling it with water from the Mediterranean Sea and walking over a few steps under the shore and pouring it into a small hole. And he continued to walk over and fill the cup of water and go over and pour it in the hole, back up to the cup of water, pour it into the small hole. And St. Augustine watched the boy for a little while. And after a time he said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm going to take that ocean and I'm going to pour it into this hole." And St. Augustine said to the young boy, he said, "You know, that's impossible. You can't take all the ocean and put it into that small cup and pour it into that small hole. It cannot be done." And the boy looked up to Augustine and he said, "Augustine, it is easier for me, a boy, to fill the oceans of the world into this cup and to put it into that small hole than it is for you to understand the Trinity." And then the boy disappeared. It was an apparition of our Lord Jesus Christ. To put St. Augustine in his place, that this is an infinitely larger mystery than the entire universe. God is of infinite width and infinite breadth and infinite height. All things are by Him and with Him and through Him and in Him. Or as St. Paul says in the epistle, how incomprehensible are His ways and His judgments, for from Him and through Him and unto Him are all things. From Him the Father, through Him the Son, unto Him the Holy Ghost. That all things are from Him, through Him, and unto Him. And then our Lord Jesus Christ chose that His last public words that He would speak to His apostles would be concerning this Trinity. We say that we save the best for last. He wanted to make sure that these words would never be forgotten when He spoke to His apostles before He ascended into heaven. "Going therefore, teach all nations whatsoever I have taught you." That's many things. Baptizing them, pouring upon them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, which means to pour the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost upon the nations. The role of the Catholic Church is to bring the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to the nations, to adore the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, to contemplate His ways and how incomprehensible and how beautiful that they are, to follow His will, to come closer and closer to the mystery that we are going to live in the midst of for all eternity, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so today we consider a little bit of the touch of heaven. One of the things the saints tell us as we advance in the supernatural life, that all that it is a getting closer and closer to God. And as we get closer and closer to God, we begin to see more and more how every single part of the universe was created by Him, is sustained by Him, is directed by Him. That you cannot understand the sun, the stars, the clouds, you cannot understand men, you cannot understand anything in the universe without understanding God. And that in the understanding of God, we can understand all these things perfectly. They say the true knowledge of the earth is a knowledge that comes from looking at God and then seeing the world reflected in the mirror of God. So when we look at God, He shines His light upon the earth, and there's a little mirror inside of God, and we see God, and then God shows us the entire universe as it is supposed to be, without any distortions. It is in the contemplation of God that we come to the understanding of how to deal with all the problems of daily life, and how to understand anything that needs to be understood. Whether it be math or science or philosophy or theology or people, it does not matter what it is. If we want to have a deep and true understanding of these things, we need to go to their source. Go to the one who made it. Learn more about Him, and we will know more about the things that He has made. We will appreciate more the things that He has made. We'll have a better understanding of every truth by simply going to the Blessed Trinity. The Father who created us, the Son who redeemed us, the Holy Ghost that sanctifies us. And we should speak regularly to God and remember that we are made for heaven. This Trinity Sunday is a Sunday in which we are supposed to be reminded of the place where we are going. We are here in this earth for a short time, and it is good to think from time to time in daily life as we travel through this veil of tears with its many sorrows and many vicissitudes. As we travel through it, I was made for heaven. Lord, prepare me for that place. Open the gates to receive me, even though I am not worthy. Transform my heart and my mind. Sustain me, protect me, and guide me until I arrive in the presence of the Trinity for all eternity. And remember that the Trinity is with us at all times. We never begin or end a prayer without the invoking of the Trinity. We don't contemplate the cross without the Trinity. We remember that it was the Father that sent the Son that died upon the cross, and the Holy Ghost that carries us to that cross, and the Holy Ghost that carries that cross to us. And so if we see the cross, it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. If there is a cross, it's because of the command of the Father, and it is because of the actions of the Son. And so they are inseparable in that cross, inseparable in all of the doctrines and all of the realities of our faith. And so if we try to adore Jesus Christ, we adore the Father and the Holy Ghost. If we contemplate the Father, we adore the Son and the Holy Ghost. If we contemplate the Holy Ghost, we adore the Father and the Son. These three are inseparable. And so we need to try to adore the Blessed Trinity. Thank God for revealing to us this sacred secret. It is the most sacred of all the truths that He has ever revealed to us. And He would not reveal such a sacred truth if He did not consider us His friends. It is the real proof that He considers us His friends. As He said to the apostles on Holy Thursday, "Iam non digam vos servos sed amicos." I now no longer call you slaves, but friends. And He reveals to them the Father and the Holy Ghost. "Philip, do you not know He who sees me sees the Father also, and I'm going to send you the Paraclete." He reveals the most sacred of His truths when He calls us His friends. It is the sacred secret that with by natural reason alone we cannot know. It is something that God, we know the existence of God, we know that He created us, we know that there is a reward for the good and a punishment for the evil. We know the Ten Commandments. These things we can know without revelation. But the Blessed Trinity we cannot know unless God reveals it to us and tries to explain it to us and deepens our understanding of it. It is something that He would only do to those that are His friends. So we have been lit in upon the secret. And let us contemplate it and thank God for it. And it will be a guide for us, this mystery of the Trinity. A guide that will bring us until we are in His presence for all eternity. Will guide us until we are in His presence for all eternity. And so let's contemplate and thank God for this mystery of the Trinity and ask Him to help us prepare for arriving in the kingdom of heaven. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember, next Sunday, only 10 a.m. Mass. No 8 a.m. Mass here in Denver. The 8 a.m. Mass will be up in Fort Collins. And then there'll be no 2 p.m. Mass up in Fort Collins next Sunday. It'll be during the middle of the vocation retreat, and we will have the parish picnic next Sunday, to which you're all invited after the 10 a.m. Mass.